The title of the sermon is, Are You a Resolute Christian? Are you a resolute Christian? I know that the hymn that I'm going to read to you right now is a hymn that's very familiar to you. Did I misspell something on there?
You forgot a vowel.
Oh.
But we know what you mean.
Thank you very much. I thought, my wife had pointed that out to me, and I thought I had changed it, but I apologize. Okay, anyway, a hymn that we're all familiar with. We've sung it numbers of times, and probably, if you're like me, sometimes when we sing these hymns, we lie. Let's be honest. We sing them, but I'm not so sure that we really believe them or want to practice the biblical principles that are contained in them. So listen to the words of this hymn. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He has the words of life. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. And then the chorus is, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Are you a resolute Christian? What does it even mean to be a resolute Christian? What's involved in being a resolute Christian? Of course, the word resolute is related to other words that are familiar to us. Resolution. Resolved. So we're talking about someone who is ardent, determined, committed, devoted, diligent, faithful, passionate, disciplined, dedicated, intent, wholehearted. Do those terms describe your Christian life and walk? Are you a resolute Christian? Now, what got me to thinking about all of this was a discussion several weeks ago, led by Jeff, that we had on a recent Sunday service. And the passage that we were discussing several weeks ago was Psalm 119, verses 7 and 8. I have them on the PowerPoint if you'd like to use that today. And Jeff keyed in on this two-word phrase, I will, as in the refrain to the hymn I just read. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. I will. Notice these two verses, Psalm 119, verses 7 and 8. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. The discussion keyed in, as I said a moment ago, on that phrase, I will. Do those words mean anything to you? Well, if they do mean anything, they mean that when you say, I will, and you can fill in the blank, do such and such a thing, it requires a willful choice and decision on each of our parts to do that. And in the case of the psalmist in Psalm 119, he made a resolute decision to praise God and obey his statutes. He was resolved to do those things. I got to wondering how many times the phrase, I will, appears in the Bible. Whether it's used of God or of people. And I found it rather striking. 1,909 times. And that does not include the phrase, will I. Just, I will. It is used in 53 of the 66 books of the Bible. I was quite impressed by that. This is a phrase that is found on virtually every page of the Bible. The bottom line is that every day, you and I are making choices. We are making decisions at various levels. Some physical decisions, some spiritual decisions, but we're making choices every day. And the most critical of those decisions that you and I are making every day are ones that revolve around our walk and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. So for purposes of the message today, I want to narrow down our quest to understand the significance of what it means to be a resolute Christian. I want to narrow it down to the book of Psalms. Just pick one of the 53 books where this phrase is found. And in the book of Psalms, the phrase, I will, is found 182 times. That's more than one per psalm. To narrow it down further, because you don't want to be here all day looking at 182 passages of Scripture, to narrow it down, we're going to focus on the chapter that Jeff focused on in his discussion with us a few weeks ago, and that is Psalm 119. And this is significant in itself because virtually all of the I wills in Psalm 119 are related to our resolve, our determination, our choice, our decision to do something regarding the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the theme of Psalm 119. And in this chapter alone, Psalm 119, the phrase I will occurs 20 times. 20 times. Now, it should be no surprise to any of us that the longest chapter in the Bible would be about the Bible. Because that's what this is about. It's about the uniqueness and importance of the Bible. The overall theme of the psalm is the surpassing excellence of God's Word. Especially as it pertains to the revelation of God's will for His people and knowing God better. And what we have in these 176 verses is a man who is rejoicing in the Word of God. He's rejoicing in the ability to be able to delight in the Scriptures and to be able to obey the Scriptures. And he did not find the Word of God to be burdensome or cumbersome. So before we get into the specific I wills, let me just give you a brief overview of some fascinating facts about Psalm 119. The psalm was written in such a way as to aid in memorization. There are 22 8-verse stanzas for a total of 176 verses in Psalm 119. And each of the 22 stanzas represents one of the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Yes, there are 26 letters in the English alphabet, one in the Canadian alphabet, eh? And 22 in the Hebrew alphabet. Each stanza is exactly 8 verses in length. And the first word of every verse in each stanza begins with the same letter in the Hebrew. So in the first 8 verses, which is the first stanza, the first word of every verse begins with the word letter A. You can't see that in the English. This is in the Hebrew. This is a form of Hebrew poetry. The psalm contains 70 prayer requests. 70 prayer requests. Only 5 of the 176 verses in the psalm do not make a direct reference to the Word of God. And I have those on the screen for you, verses 84, 90, 121, 122, and 132. God himself is mentioned or addressed in every verse except one, verse 115. Otherwise, God is mentioned or referenced in every verse in Psalm 119. The psalmist is very conscious or aware of the need to obey the Word of God, and he is resolved to do it at all costs. How does he demonstrate that? He uses the word keep or kept 29 times, and that word is synonymous with the word obey. When he says, I want to keep your word, or I have kept your word, it means he has honored it by obeying it. He was serious about the Word of God. He is also determined that whatever he does, he will do it thoroughly and wholeheartedly. He makes reference to the heart 14 times in the psalm, 6 of which speak of his whole heart, that is, the totality of his being. Those are fascinating facts about Psalm 119. Here's some fabulous features. There are 9 separate, specific Hebrew words that represent a different aspect of the Word of God as it relates to the will of God for the child of God. 9 specific Hebrew words that are used. And we must never separate the Word of God from the will of God, because you cannot know the will of God apart from the Word of God. It's that simple. Some of the various terms in Scripture that we will encounter in this passage, in this text, Psalm 119, law, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, and so forth. 9 of them. So I want to look with you in the remainder of the message today at the 20 passages of Scripture in Psalm 119 that use the phrase, I will. And they will help us answer the question, am I a resolute Christian? Am I a resolute Christian? All right, let's begin in verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. The psalmist is saying, I'm making a choice. I'm making a determination. I am resolving, if you will, to praise God, to come to God in adoration and love for him. And I'm going to do it with a righteous heart. Now, what does the word judgments here? This is one of the 9 words that's found in this chapter. What does the word judgments mean? It literally means to set something up, to set something upright, to erect, and thus to judge. It refers to a standard, if you will. And so when the psalmist says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, I will when I have learned your righteous judgments, he means I'm going to offer praise to God as I learn God's standard of living for my life. And yes, God has a standard of living. It has nothing to do with your finances. It has everything to do with your faith. Verse 8. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. The word statutes means to cut, to chisel, to engrave, to inscribe. This is in your notes. This word refers to the various enactments of God, the policies of God that have been written down, that have been etched in stone, if you will, as the Ten Commandments were. These are the various decrees that God has ordained to govern his people. One commentary defined it as the permanent record of God's will. The permanent record of God's will. It's been written in stone, if I can say it that way. It's permanent. All right, the third place where this resolution is found. Verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you practice that verse in your daily life? Oh, we all meditate on something every day. We're all chewing the cud. That's literally what the word meditate means. We're all chewing the cud. But he says here that he wants to chew the cud in God's precepts. Precepts. What does that word mean? Precepts. To take oversight, to take charge of, to put something in trust. The idea refers to a mandate, a requirement by an authority over someone who is submitted to that authority. God has authority over the Christian. The Word of God has authority over the Christian. And that authority is described and discussed and delineated in the Bible. Do you spend time every day meditating on those principles? I am not asking this question. Do you read your Bible every day? I'm asking if you spend time as you're reading, meditating on what you're reading, chewing on it, going over it in your mind, thinking about it. This is one of the things, I'm going to just tell you a little something that kind of is like a sliver under my skin. Are these Bible reading schedules. Okay? I don't use Bible reading schedules. Now, if you're comfortable using a Bible reading schedule, that's fine. But a lot of times, when we use a Bible reading schedule, all we're doing is we're reading the Bible. And that's great that you're reading the Bible. But God wants more than just reading the Bible. As Jeff has said many times, I think I'm going to quote you correctly here, Jeff. If not, you correct me. It's better to read one or two or three verses and really understand what they're saying than to read three or four chapters and not understand anything. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Do you delight in God's inscribed permanent rules? That's what the word statue is. Statute. Okay? Statute. Psalm 119, verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments. And by the way, he's not running away from them. He is running in the way of them. He's following the road of God's commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. The word commandments means to set up, to constitute, a constitutionalized command. These are the orders, if you will, orders issued from an authority that God requires submission to, obedience to. I will run the way of God's commandments. God's commandments, John tells us in 1 John, are not burdensome to the heart that loves God. They are a delight. A delight. Psalm 119:45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. There is freedom in submission to the Word of God. There is freedom in submission to the Word of God. Do you believe that? Verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Now, we're not all going to have that opportunity to stand before elected leaders, but if you had the opportunity to stand before an elected leader, would you speak God's testimonies? Testimonies. To turn back again. To turn over again. To reiterate. That is, to repeat something. To testify of something that you have seen or experienced. It carries the idea that God has solemnly declared His will on matters of faith in the Word of God. And morality in the Word of God, so that we can know right from wrong. Aren't you thankful that God hasn't left us to fend for ourselves to decide what's right and wrong? God has revealed those guiding principles to us in the testimonies of the Word of God. Verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Wow. Verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. You believe this was a resolute believer? Verse 62, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Jeff and I were talking about waking up in the middle of the night before church today. I told him I had wakened up last night, and I had this song in my head, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. I laid in my bed for a half hour singing this song. Fortunately for my wife, I sang it to myself, not out loud. And Jeff made the statement to the effect, it's interesting what we do when we wake up in the middle of the night. I said, well, Jeff, I woke up the other night about 1:30 praying for you, as I knew you were facing some issues that only God could work out. So, when you wake up in the middle of the night, either pray or sing praises to the Lord softly. He will hear you. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts. Wow. I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened, or literally revived me. Verse 95. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I wonder what I would do if somebody were chasing me and had a gun and wanted to shoot me, if I would stop and meditate on the Bible. I don't know if I would. I should, but I don't know if I could. Well, David did. Verse 106. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will obey thy righteous judgments. I have sworn, I have taken an oath, the psalmist says, that I am going to do it. I am going to obey thy righteous judgments. Verse 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Verse 117, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. And in verse 145, we have the last of the 20 uses of I will in Psalm 119. Verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep thy statutes. I'm going to ask the question again that I asked at the beginning of the sermon. Are you a resolute Christian? How would you score? How would I score on these 20 I wills just in this chapter? How would we score? Well, many years ago, when I was preaching through the Psalms, Psalm 119 actually, I preached through it twice, I found some resolutions, and I have these in your notes, and I want to go through them with you as we wrap up the message today. I call these encouragements, if you will, to a more resolute Christian life. Let's go through them, shall we? These are in the form of a prayer. God, give me an upright heart. Let me get these on the PowerPoint if you don't have the notes. God, give me an upright heart with undivided affection. May I love you and seek to obey you with my whole heart. There's a lifetime of living in that one resolution right there. Give me an upright heart and undivided affections. May I love you and seek to obey you with my whole heart. Secondly, God, help me to walk blamelessly every day. May my obedience be a settled habit and my life patterns godly. Third prayer. God, grant me a fixed resolution and a declared purpose to obey you always. There's no compromising here. There's no wishy-washiness here, is there?
No.
Nor should there be. Number four. God, remove from me the way of lying and help me to be absolutely truthful. Friends, listen. If you have the choice between lying and remaining silent, keep your mouth shut.
That's right.
It is not a sin to keep your mouth shut when the only other choice is to lie. Five, God, help me never to stray from your commands. Help me never to behave as if I have an apostate heart. God, help me always to expand my affections for you. Help me to be zealously obedient in my daily life and never abandon the authority of your word. And by the way, we are seeing wholesale abandonment of the Bible among so-called Christian people today. It is epidemic. God, give me a supreme devotion to your authority and help me to be absolutely dependent on you. God, keep me from vanity. Help me to avoid covetousness or any objects of truth besides you. God, help me never to linger in wrong behavior, but to make obedience an emergency, an instant action in my life. Help me to obey you perpetually and continually. God, help me not to obey out of painful obligation or dread of punishment, but out of love for you as a sincere affection of my soul. Now, I'm going to invite you to do something. If you truly are a resolute Christian, I'm going to invite you to take this list and over the next several days to pray one of those prayers out of the sincerity of your heart. I'm going to do the same thing and pray one of those every day and ask God to work that particular principle that particular day into the core of your being. I'm going to challenge you to do that, and I trust that you will. Let's pray. Father, we have set forth in this message some important principles and truths based upon the declarations and statements of a godly man in the Bible. Psalm 119, 20 resolutions, not New Year's resolutions, which are so easy to forget about and break after a few days, but God-focused resolutions, 20 of them. And I pray, Father, that because we have heard these principles today and we've read these closing resolutions, that you would motivate us to take these and make them a part of our daily routine, praying one each day with utmost honesty and sincerity. And I pray that it would be transformative, that it would change us more into the image of Jesus Christ every day. I pray, Father, that you would dismiss us now with your blessing, and I pray that you would help Jeff tonight as he teaches us from Psalm 63, that it would be a great time of challenge and edification and encouragement and exhortation to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen.